Let my mouth be full of your praise.
And your glory and all your glory.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 111 responsively. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. Great are your words, O Lord, pondered by all who delight in them. Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever.
You cause
your wonders to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion. You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant.
You have
shown your people the power of your works in giving them the lands of the nations. The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure. They stand last forever and ever because they are done in truth and equity. You send redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice this have a good understanding. God's praise endures forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God, except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Well, I don't think it takes a great student of the Bible to be able to figure out the theme of this Sunday's readings. There is gratitude and gratefulness in every single paragraph. The reading from Luke's gospel is a common Sunday school theme, and it's usually the gospel that is read at Thanksgiving services. Parents use this gospel to teach their children how important it is to say thank you. And even 2-year-olds know the proper answer to the question, "What do you say?" Children know the quick response. I had a birthday last week. I'm old enough to get the AARP magazine, but I'm not old enough to get the senior discount. And in that Not For Only Old People magazine, I read an article about grandparents who are paying for their grandchildren, college tuition or insurance for their cars or different kinds of things. And a woman wrote in response to this article, "I stopped giving when they stopped saying thank you. No thank you notes, no gifts." Now, I have to admit that I have been tempted to take that stance with a couple of my godchildren. You know, did it get lost in the mail? I never know what happens. Well, I'm thankful that God isn't like that with me. It's absolutely necessary for us, however, to look at this scripture as being a lot more than Jesus prodding us to say thank you, to write the thank you note. It's kind of like the Christian virtue of love. When our understanding and our expression of gratitude is more than a feeling or an emotion, it's a way of acting. It's a way of living. When Jesus said, love your enemies, he didn't say to us, develop feelings for these people. Have a heartfelt emotion for your enemies. That would be almost impossible, to love our enemies in that way. But with that gift of God's most amazing grace, we can act in a loving way toward our enemies. We can refuse to do them harm. We can see them as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We can refuse to retaliate. And we might even find it in our hearts to feel compassion for them or empathy. And I think it's like that with gratitude as well. There are many situations in life and many experiences that make it difficult, if not impossible, to feel grateful. But maybe gratitude is more than knowing the answer to the question, what do you say? Maybe gratitude, like Christian love, is a way of acting, a way of living. Gratitude is a way of life, a constant reminder that we are dependent on God. All we can do is say thank you. Without God's grace, we can do nothing. So gratitude is much more than saying thank you. It's an attitude. It's a frame of mind. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not just when the leprosy is healed, but also when you hear that the cancer has returned. Not just on the day of your wedding when you say, I do, but also on the day when angry words are exchanged and you feel more like, I don't. Not just when the pay raise appears on your check after your annual review, but also when a sudden layoff leaves you looking for a new job. Give thanks in all circumstances. Living a life of gratitude in all circumstances is possible, not by our own strength, but by the grace of God, because God knows our every circumstance. God knows where we are. God knows our every breath, every hair on our head. We are so well known, so well loved, so made whole that we can give thanks. And the good news is that we are made whole and well when gratitude is our way of life, because then we know who and whose we are. Sometimes it's the small stuff, I think, that's even more important than the big stuff. To say thank you for the small stuff. It's obvious that we should say thank you for the big stuff. Thank you that I've been healed of my leprosy. Thank you that I was able to walk away from that car crash without a scratch. Thank you that on returning to the house that you'd been evacuated from, your home is standing safe from the storm or from the fire. Those kinds of big things lead us to fall at Jesus' feet and say thank you and praise God. But it's the daily small stuff, the everyday stuff, that makes for living a life of gratitude. Last week, I planted 3 rose bushes in front of the sign by the church. This is a, well, I didn't exactly plant them. The gardener planted them, but I pointed. These rose bushes were a gift from Susan Pettit to be a memorial garden for Pastor Don. They don't look like much. I have to tell you, there's a lot of faith that it takes when you plant a rose bush, I guess. It's a stick with some straggly leaves on it. When the box said roses, I opened it up expecting roses. And that's not what was in the box. Well, yes. And just, I'm thinking that I was told then that this is how you have to plant roses. They need to be pruned back in order for the energy to be given to the roots and to the parts of the plant that will produce the roses in the spring. And I'm thinking that this is kind of like how our lives are, that it's faith in that stick, in the stuff that's not so good, that will produce the beautiful roses in the future. That it's not all about the rose blossom, but it's also about that pruned vine. There's pain in life, but it's not punishment. It's in order to allow the fullness of those roses to come at a future time, to get us ready for even greater blessings. It isn't an easy lesson to learn, but living a life of gratitude invites us to say, everything is grace. Give me God's eyes so that I can see that all is grace, that all is God's gift. The big stuff and the small stuff. The good stuff and the not so good stuff. Now, if our gratitude is limited to just the good stuff and the big stuff, then there's a part of our heart that is isolated. There's a part of our lives, our past, that's cut off from the possibility of roses in the spring. If we focus on those things that in our past that we wish had not happened, about those relationships that we wish would have turned out differently, about mistakes that we made that we wish we hadn't made, then part of our heart is cut off, unable to produce roses in that new life ahead of us. A converted heart needs to be a heart of gratitude for all of our past to be gathered up in grace, to be able to say thanks be to God with every step of the journey. That's grace. That's living a graceful life, a life of gratitude. And it's a gift from God. It's living a life of gratitude. Jesus lived a life of gratitude. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. He gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave it away. On the night before he died, he gave thanks to God for the people, his friends, gathered around his table. And he took the bread, gave thanks to God, and gave it away. He did the same thing the next day with his life, broken. Thanks be to God, and gave it away. When we keep our eyes on the cross, we can live a life of gratitude as well. When we keep and continue to keep coming to gather around this Thanksgiving table, we can live a life of gratitude. We can let thanks be to God be our constant prayer with every step of our journey. Some music directors get really upset when the pastor says, well, I don't want to sing what's printed in the bulletin. I want to sing something else. I don't worry about that with our music director. She can play anything on the spur of the moment. I did warn Doris that I wanted to sing something else than what's printed in the bulletin. I didn't warn her until late yesterday, but I did warn her. If you would take your red hymnals, please, and turn to song number 840. We're going to sing this as our sermon hymn rather than the song that's printed in your bulletin. This song was written by a Lutheran pastor. His name is Martin Reinhart. He lived in Europe during the 30 Years' War. An interesting story about this man who wrote these wonderful words of gratitude. Before he wrote this hymn, he lived in this walled community in Europe during the war, and it was a 30-year war. During that time, he buried 4,000 people. People had come to that community as a place of refuge from plague and destruction and the violence of the war, but still over 4,000 people died in that town, including his wife, including every other pastor in town. And at the end of the war, he sat down and wrote these words of gratitude. Let's stand and sing.